Okay, hang on here. Okay, 3, 2, 1, and welcome back. Well, what's the matter here? Ha, I don't see my picture. Hello, this is nice. Let me start with 3, 2, 1, and welcome back, folks, to Truth versus News here on Labor Day. And we've been laboring that first hour, and I will say you have something to do if you're American. You got to send that out. That first hour is very important for people to see. If you're not sending out our videos on what's really happening in the world, you're part of the problem and reason what we're going down with is genocide. So you got to get the truth out so maybe we can stop it. And I think one of the really most profound people with action here is David Brian Davidson. You've got more to say than the average bear, and so go ahead.
Well, I don't. I'm going to follow up on that last story, and I see it through a particular lens that doesn't surprise me. People, strong men have been enslaving and abusing weak men since the beginning of time. Literally, the earliest civilizations had a combination of strong men enslaving weak men, adopting them into the tribe, building it out, moving on to the next one. Genghis Khan. Look at what happened in Africa. Those people weren't brought over here as slaves because they were the strong men. The strong men took the weaker tribes and sold them to other strong men that had money, who then brought them over here, who sold them again to other strong men who had money. There's nothing new under the sun in terms of what this is happening. And why do I bring this up right now? Those people in Hawaii were not strong enough to oppose the force of the directed energy weapons, and they were taken over. Now, in theory, what neutrals out and cancels everything, neutralizes it and cancels it, is the fact that we have government and we have laws that don't allow strong men to take what they want at will, when they want, how they want. So, in theory, government is and law is the big equalizer. And so you can be strong in different ways and you can have diversity. But look at what we are becoming as a society. Look at what millennials are becoming. Are they strong people? Are you building strong children? Are we making strong families? No. And if ever since the rise of Barack Obama and even prior to that, as the family unit has gone downhill and the introduction of these phones and this television and the rot, poisonous mess that's going into the next generations and the next generations, what you're building is a weak people. And as the government continues to find itself in a more and more compromised position, it's less and less effective at protecting the rights of the weaker people. And it's causing a lot of trouble. Now, where does this go from here on out? Does the situation continue to get worse? Well, now we're told that the strong people have super duper new technology that they can appear to use at will. Okay, strong people will take advantage of weak people. We've got guns with ammunition that goes so far. They've got tanks and missiles and F-16s and destroyers, and they've got directed energy weapons, and they've got nuclear bombs. And they will continue to work towards enslaving us if our government is not effective at protecting our rights. And so the big question at this point in time is, where is the prosecutor? Well, same place the prosecutor was back in when Kennedy was assassinated, same place the prosecutor was when 9/11 took place, same place the prosecutor, non-existent. It's up to us, and we can't do it vigilante style. There's got to be people that stand up. There's got to be districts that stand up and people that are put in a position that believe that right makes might and believe that they're doing God's work by enforcing the laws. It's very rare to find that these days. And I predict that if we don't continue to harvest more of that righteousness within our society, we will indeed reap what we sow, which is weakness and enslavement.
Very, very well said, Brian. Very well said.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have an international tribunal reported here. A cease and desist order and writ of mandamus have been filed against President Biden, U.S. Space Force, Air Force, etc., including Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, Mossad, State of Israel, Justin Trudeau, World Economic Forum, and all evaded and abetted and weaponized genocide, ecocide, and sabotage on multiple levels by fire, weather warfare, dews, scalar, laser, microwaves, all on Maui, Canada, U.S., and around the globe. There are significant eyewitness reports paired with scientific proof and evidence that the devastating inferno, which destroyed targeted buildings and pristine land masses, in Surrey, well over 1,000 lives, mainly children, in Lahana, Maui, on August 8th, was without doubt manufactured and orchestrated by weather warfare weapons of the U.S. Space Force and other co-defendants. As the planned wildfire spread, the Pacific top disaster management leaders were lounging in five-star Oahu resorts, meeting together with many of Hawaii's emergency officials, educating about how to respond in crisis situation, knowing full well homes in Lahaina were burning to the ground. There are eyewitness report of orders in place to not sound the alarm or sirens, for school to send children to an empty home while parents were working, police ordered by the governing bodies to block roadways exiting the inferno. Hawaiian indigenous natives continue to stand their ground, will not sell their unceded land to anyone. In 2002, lawsuits were filed by local natives. We have tolerated commercial signs to the point they continue to desecration of our land. For the first 20 years of Manukai, the telescopy operator left their trash for the native people to clean up at our expense. Mark my words, you will not build on Manukai. These hostilities by those who appropriated the land and wealth of the original people are an extension of an ancient plan to conquer and annihilate the indigenous nations of the world, those who understand our connection with our Creator and our responsibility to maintain the earth that sustains us. In 2008, the Hawaiian government launched a clean energy initiative, pledging to establish new green credentials with the aim to use 100% renewable electricity to power the state, the entire state, by 2020-45. In 2018, the co-defendant WEF Forum announced Hawaii's Maui plan to be the first state run entirely on clean energy at the cost of destroying nature and impeding, blocking God's natural energy. An Air Force optical and supercomputing AMOS site was set up in Maui, where directed energy weapons were created and tested. An acceleration of these events are being carried out globally while the Maui Firestorm details are still unraveling. Nearly 40 million acres of forest have been incinerated in Canada since late spring. The staggering number equates to nearly 60,000 square miles, an area nearly the size of the state of Georgia that's gone up in flames in only a few months. Other countries that have been and are being incinerated include Greece, Spain, Portugal, Turkey, Italy, France, Canary Island, Kazakhstan, the UK, and more. Constant high-pressure heat domes are baking numerous parts of the world, including the U.S., where Canada just hit a record-shattering heat index temperature of 134 degrees. Oh. Fisheries are collapsing along with crops as ocean temperatures continue to skyrocket. Today's actions are an extension of plans written in the 1974 Kissinger Report and defendant Rockefeller Foundation 2010 lockstep scenarios for a 90% world depopulation plan between 2020 and 2050, which originated with J.D. Rockefeller's secret covenant delivered to eugenicist Freemasons in the early 1880s under the umbrella of the WEF and WHO master plans. This is just the beginning of what's to come. Humanity worldwide must wake up now to realize these co-defendant genocide perpetrators can only take away our God-given power of love if we willingly give it to them. Fear not and say no. I do not consent to the genocidal propaganda. Weather warfare is a spiritual war against humanity, nature, and the living earth. Mainstream and alternative media who choose not to report the truth of weaponized fired by directed energy weapons of the U.S. Space Force and other defendants in Hawaii and throughout Canada are guilty as co-defendants aiding and abetting in genocide and crimes against humanity. So the mainstream and alternative media choose to report the forensic evidence that the weather warfare destruction of Maui and over all of Canada is a product of direct energy and other weapons. You can access the full evidence and tribunal cease and desist order here. Serious shit. Scott, your thoughts.
Well, bring back that last slide because I want to see that order. I want to see the legal language in the court and the attorneys and the numbers, and I want to see exactly what has been filed because, let's just leave that up there for a second. So we've got the tribe, and like I've said, I am a full supporter of legal warfare, of legal exposure, of legal engagements for these crimes and for the presentation of evidence and testimony of crimes against humanity, of a conspiracy on the highest levels of the political, federal, and other government authorities, police commissioners, everyone. Let's not forget the police commissioner, the police chief on Maui was the same police chief that ran the Las Vegas false flag shooting operation.
Oh,
so there's definitely evidence of collusion and all sorts of dirty things. So I would welcome the chance to read the legal documents here. But, you know, as Brian was saying, too, the strong man and the strong governments and all of that oppressing people, that's right out of Hobbes's Leviathan. Man, you know, agrees to turn their blood feud, the law of the jungle, over to the government, the court, the equalizer of disagreements and conflicts, so that you don't have open warfare. But the moment that Leviathan is revealed as non-existent, as the invisible man, as a corrupt, now under control of oligarchs or people like the Biden administration, these others who are pursuing a political agenda, using government, using the courts, using the various police agencies, that's the moment people disengage. They disengage from giving any authority or jurisdiction or participation in the courts or the police or anything else. So strong men are naturally, I think, rising because of the revelation that all of the institutions have been taken over by weak men. I don't consider these people who have been orchestrating attacks or the government psyop and mind control of children and things, I don't consider them strong people. I don't consider them intellectually advanced. I see them as retarded, spiritually dead fanatics that are trying to advance this fanatical beta male agenda on the rest of society, and people are rising up against it and they're pushing back. So the funny thing too, ironically, everyone that I've ever met in the military, and I've served as an officer, and I can tell you everyone that has been in the military for the most part is a conservative person. They may not be Republican, you know, because of ignorance, but they're always semi-conservative because there's self-discipline. There's a sense of duty. There's a sense of performance. There's excellence in the military, in the customs and courtesies and the echelons of training and decorum and history. That, you know, Jim, from your experience, the military completely saturates the individual recruit who goes through civilian life to basic training, to advanced training, to specialized training and assignments. That whole process enriches and saturates the individual in military history and decorum and performance. And you can tell a person who's been in the military. There's a sense of excellence. There's a sense of technical capability. Now, some of them have been very much damaged and traumatized. They can't look at false flag discussions. They can't look at these events. Many go into the military and come out broken. But for the most part, the people that run and manage military technology, planes, boats, everything like that, are conservative. So I don't have any fear about the military people who are involved in some of these technologies. Because at the end of the day, I think we have more conservatives that would rise up and declare that the Constitution is, of course, what they took an oath to support and defend. And I think we're getting to that point. The whole reason the military have been sent on these endless wars or have been doing the will of in this case, Biden, has been because of deception and because of the Democrats' coup d'etat. But as it becomes known, as it all of these things start to unfold, I think in the next year or two, you're going to see a great separation, and I think also you're going to see a great deal of disruption in the United States because again we're at a breaking point on a lot of different levels. Jim,
Don, were you seeking to comment?
Oh, I'll just second what Scott says. I can't say it any better than he does, and okay. Brian is excellent too. You guys are the best. I just want to decorate your.
Thank you, Don. Brian.
Well, I think what the people in power that have used these means of deception and riches and bribery to create riches, to create more money, to drive more deception, to cover their shame because they can't come out as who they really are. They're afraid of one thing. They're afraid of death. They're afraid of the end. They don't know what's coming after. And so their biggest fear is, what did they go after Trump for on January 6th? Insurrection. They fear that the people are going to make a declaration of independence from a corrupt government who has, by force and by deception, taken over the governmental processes. Now, name an institution that you don't feel is compromised. Maybe your local county sheriff, maybe somewhere, somehow, there are institutions, but take a look around. EPA, IRS, FDA, you name it, three-letter agency, loaded with brass at the top level that are nothing but a bunch of pissy, whipping boys that have been put into positions to continue doing the puppetry of their puppet masters. We never see the masters. We never see them come up. And it's the same way in the military. The brass has been, the people that have been put into positions are people that we know what they'll do. Look at what they did to Flynn. I mean, my understanding is Flynn was a pretty damn good guy. Had a pretty good moral compass and sense of right and wrong and duty and obligation to his country. He was a threat. Boy, they had to get rid of him. Obama administration, the very first thing they said to the Trump administration was, you better watch out for this Flynn guy. He's very dangerous. He's an independent thinker. No, he was an American. So their biggest fear is that people will begin to come together and make a declaration, which, by the way, our own Declaration of Independence demands that when our government becomes that corrupt, we must rise up as a militia and restore what's right to the government. Now, I can tell you the biggest, most obvious thing right now is the difference between the way Joe Biden is being treated and Hunter Biden and the way Donald Trump is being treated. It is becoming very clear. It is becoming as isolated as that for the large majority of Americans that this is an unfair, corrupt system that will stop at nothing to maintain power. And I can tell you what, when that level of fear begins to set in for these people, they begin to go insane, trying to defend themselves from the righteous people of the United States who have nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to be fearful of. You watch, they'll come apart from the inside out. Yes. Because they've poisoned themselves and they poison their souls. And the strong men of America will continue to be strong and will sleep like babies through the night, day in and day out, continuing one step at a time on the right path.
Yeah, Scott.
Jim, let me add to Brian. Brian is exactly precisely right. I'm so glad he said that, because you will know, and it's important because people are asking about this all the time. They're trying to figure this out. How to focus yourself and focus your eyes and your understanding. You will know these people by their fruits. You shall know them. they will come apart. As he said, they will come apart from the inside. And how that manifests, to give people a checklist, they, and you can already see it happening now. You've seen it during the pandemic. You're going to see it increase and continue, because these people are not going to get better. They're going to degenerate into mad dogs. How long have I been saying that? For the past couple of days. And I don't say it flippantly, and I don't say it, figuratively. They literally are becoming mad dogs inside. They're going to be increasingly fanatical and loud, and their eyes are going to be wide, and they're going to curse you, and they're going to be, mocking you, and they're going to be, Trump, that, and they'll be cursing, there'll be profanity. I say this to prepare people psychologically and emotionally, because it's all a psyop. It's all meant to hypnotize, to brainwash, to bully, to push. Be prepared. They're going to do this on a variety of levels. The media have been doing it. What is the most latest example of this psychological bullying? It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Oh, you're so bad. If you're not vaccinated, you want to kill your grandma. Get your vaccine. You this. All angles came on attacking people. And some people broke down. They gave in. Well, I guess I got to get it. And they've killed themselves as a result of it. There are those of us who laughed it off, who mocked it, who just water off a duck's back. But you have to be prepared for these people to come apart at the seams, come apart on the inside, because as the days go, as we get closer to the end times, whatever that is, and it's been said ad nauseum, these people are going to become violent. Don't be surprised if they light themselves on fire. Don't be surprised if they put a bullet in their head on camera to say, this is because President Trump doesn't like transgenders. Boom. Don't be surprised if this madness, this self-destructive suicide, we've seen glimpses of it, of these fat, ugly lesbians bellowing to the sky when Trump was first elected. More of that is going to be happening because of all sorts of environmental conditions that they've created, they've seeded, from the transgender hormone blocking, this cult of death, to the demonization of Republicans and Trump supporters. Be prepared for them, the left, to completely go stark raving mad. And don't back down. Don't retreat. Just keep your cell phone on record and speak like you're a lawyer arguing in court. And the same goes for any cops, because a lot of these cops are as dumb as a bag of rocks and are as violent 33-degree Masonic, stooges. They are going to be, well, I'm just following orders. I've got to take your child. Just following orders. You got to get this vaccine. Just following orders. Be prepared for that kind of conflict to happen. That's the inevitability. They will become worse and worse and worse, and people can't be traumatized or caught off guard when they do. Jim?
Yes, very good, Scott. Yes, be prepared. Anticipate what is coming. Meanwhile, over 1,600 scientists and professionals have signed a no emergency climate emergency declaration. About time. International scientists have jointly signed a declaration dismissing the existence of a climate crisis, insisting carbon dioxide is beneficial to Earth, which it is. There is no climate emergency, said the Global Climate Intelligence Group in its World Climate Declaration just released last month. Climate science should be less political. Climate policy should be more scientific. Scientists should openly address uncertainties and exaggerations in their predictions of global warming. Politicians should dispassionately count the real costs as well as the imagined benefits of their policy measures. A total of 1,609 scientists and professionals from around the world signed the declaration, including 321 from the United States. The coalition pointed out Earth's climate has varied as long as it's existed, with the planet experiencing several cold and warm phases. The Little Ice Age only ended recently as 1850. Therefore, it's no surprise we're now experiencing a period of warming. Warming is happening far slower than predicted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Climate models have many shortcomings and are not remotely plausible as policy tools. The models exaggerate the effect of greenhouse gases, ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial. Even though climate alarmists characterize CO2 as environmentally damaging, the coalition pointed out the gas is not a pollutant, but essential to all life on Earth, favorable for nature. Extra CO2 results in the growth of global plant biomass, also boosting the yields of crops worldwide. The organization dismissed the narrative of global warming being linked to increased natural disasters like hurricanes, floods, and droughts, stressing there is no statistical evidence to support these claims. There is no climate emergency. Therefore, there is no cause for panic and alarm. We strongly oppose the harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policies proposed for 2050. Go for adaptation instead of mitigation. Adaptation works, whatever the causes may be. Here's a review of 600 million of Earth history. You'll notice there is no correlation between the average global temperature shown in purple and atmospheric CO2 shown in black. Given there is no correlation, there cannot be a causal relationship. They are completely independent of one another. To believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. Precisely the problem of today's discussion, where climate models are central. Climate science has degenerated into a discussion based on beliefs, not sound self-critical science. Should we not, therefore, free ourselves from the naive belief in immature climate models? Remember, they exemplify the principle known in computer science as GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Among the signatories are two Nobel laureates, a physicist from the United States and another from Norway. Clauser, in particular, has made a significant addition to climate models by dismissing the narrative of global warming. The visible light reflected by cumulus clouds, which on the average cover half of Earth. Current models vastly underestimate this aspect of cumulus cloud reflection, which plays a key role in regulating the Earth's temperature. Clauser previously told Biden that he disagreed with his climate policies. In May, he was elected to the board of the directors at the CO2 Coalition, a group focusing on the benefits of carbon dioxide. The popular narrative about climate change reflects a dangerous corruption of science that threatens the world's economy and the well-being of billions of human beings. Misguided climate science has metastasized into massive shock journalist pseudoscience. In turn, the pseudoscience has become a scapegoat for a wide variety of other unrelated ills. It has been promoted and extended by similarly misguided business marketing agents, politicians, journalists, government agencies, and environmentalists. In my opinion, there is no real climate crisis. The Declaration Against the Climate Change Narrative countered propaganda spread by climate alarmists who've long predicted doomsday scenarios triggered by global warming, none of which have ever come true. In 1970, for example, some climate scientists were predicting Earth would move to a new ice age by the 21st century. Pollution expert James Lodge predicted air pollution may obliterate the sun, cause a new ice age in the first third of the century. In May 1982, Mustafa Tolba, then executive director of the UN Environmental Program, said if the world did not change course, it would face an environmental catastrophe, which will witness devastation as complete and irreversible as any nuclear holocaust by the year 2000. In June 2008, James Hansen, director of NASA's Goddard Institute, said within 5 to 10 years, the Arctic would have no ice left. As climate alarmists continue to spread propaganda about global warming, the topic has become an issue in the 2024 presidential race, with multiple candidates openly dismissing it. In a July 13th post on X, Democrat candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said climate change is being used to control us through fear. Freedom and free markets are such a better way to stop pollution. Polluters make themselves rich by making the public pay for the damage they do. Here we have a variation in global temperatures from 2500 BC to 2040 AD. There have been massive swings in temperature. None of it, however, is dependent upon or related to the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. The reality is the anti-carbon agenda is a wet blanket on our economy. So the reality is more people are dying of bad climate change policies than they are from actual climate change. Climate activists have insisted global warming is responsible for the soaring temperatures across the U.S., even claiming temperatures are hitting record high. In a recent interview with the Epoch Times, John Christie, climatologist and professor of atmospheric science at the University of Alabama, Huntsville, dismissed the narrative of record high temperatures. Regionally, the West has seen its largest number of hot summer records in the past 100 years, but the Ohio Valley and upper Midwest are experiencing their fewest. For the conterminous U.S. as a whole, the last 10 years have produced only an average number of records. The 1930s are still the champs. Climate change policies have been used to justify sweeping lifetime changes against the U.S. by the Energy Department, like restricting home appliances, even outright banning them. In June, the Energy Department proposed rules to require ceiling fans to become more energy efficient, a development that could lead manufacturers having to shell out $86.6 million per year in increased equipment costs. In February, DOE proposed energy efficiency rules targeting gas stoves that would affect half of all new models sold in the U.S. while making most of the existing ones non-compliant. In July, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission proposed a policy that would remove nearly all existing portable gas generators from the market. The Biden admin has already implemented a ban on incandescent light bulbs, which came into effect on August 1st. Don't worry. More people die from climate change policy than from actual climate change, as Bobby observed and Vivek has reaffirmed. This is a Democrat propaganda cartoon. It bears no relationship to the truth. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, this is a very important story, Jim, and I think it is, from a war perspective, a strategic perspective, this is the crux, the nexus. This is the ground that we have to conquer. This is the climate change scientists that are exposing the fraud and the religion of climate change, the scientists that are coming with the data, with the mathematics, with the models, and with their personality and nature. Always keep in mind, it is the vibe, it is the nuance, it is the intuition and the subconscious that translates, is this person that's speaking to me honest and good? People pick that up and they follow and they naturally accept what that person says, versus those who are speaking out of an agenda, out of a monotone voice, which shows a robotic script, a regurgitated language that has been paid for. Those are key issues. So number one, these scientists that are coming together to disprove in a collective voice, in a conference, in a serious forum, an auditorium, this is absolutely crucial and needs to be replicated, because the left can't stand up to the modular debate. They can't stand up. Their evidence doesn't stand up. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any truth. They don't have any of the mathematical models. So they can't stand against this truth. Again, truth is the strongest psychological warfare weapon. I know that's what we always dealt with in the military. Truth is the strongest psychological warfare weapon. And presenting it, naturally shatters and melts all of the opposite side's lies and agenda, and it converts people. The other thing to always remember, these people are coming to show that there is no such thing as climate change. There is no such thing as the world is going to end in 12 years. There is no such justification for cutting out meat and stopping everybody from burning electricity or oil or fuel and making them eat bugs and burlap. There's no justification for that scientifically. So why are they doing it? Because it's about power. It's about hatred of men and mankind and humanity. It's about self-loathing and self-destruction, which I would say is from the devil himself and is the core of a diabolical lie. You know, he said to Christ, "Worship me and I shall give you all these kingdoms." Worship the creation more than the creator. You see that in the climate change fanaticism and madness. It's paganism. It's worshiping the earth rather than seeing the earth as God's creation, but man is God's ultimate creation, who was put upon this earth to subdue it and to build and to be creative and to be fruitful and multiply. They're attacking that on so many levels. Cut off your penis and become a woman or become a man and don't multiply. You know, there is no such thing as love. We need to get rid of masculinity and all sorts of attacks. But this is the critical ground that we need to amplify and get more of, are the scientists who know the science, know the mathematics, know the models, have done the research, have done the data, who can present it in an unbiased way, but as happy soldiers, happy scientists that can say, look, here's the truth. Here's what's going on. We've measured this. We've looked at that. And all of this nonsense they're screaming about is nothing but the screams of hysterics that are chicken littles that are all fantasies, and we should turn away from them as chicken littles. And the other thing is, the left, everything they do is grumpy, is angry, is fearful, is coercion, is threats. It's all corrupt. When we were talking a little earlier about how many institutions are corrupt, this is the key issue that corrupts all the institutions. Climate change corrupts the journalists, the politicians, the educators in schools and in universities and colleges. It has become a religion, and everyone should always remember it as a religion, as a fanatical a fantasy based on nothing but the will to power, the will to dominate and control. And it's being used, and it's trying to be used as a license for the digital currency, all sorts of political disintegration projects. But this is the way to win it, is conquering the scientific ground of the data and the analysis that shows the real science, and also saying we're about clean water and air. That's not an issue. But what we are against is this religion of imagining and fantasizing about things that aren't happening. And these lies need to be exposed in the sunlight of truth. Jim?
Oh, boy, you said it all.
Yes, climate science has been politicized to promote the green agenda and the Great Reset. No doubt about it. Brian?
There are generally two classes of people in this world that I sort of look down my nose upon. And I hate to say it, that that's true, because people are people. But I don't like people that work for the government. I've always seen them as just taking it easy, getting their nice government paycheck. It's just a class of people that I've always said, hey, you got your nice health insurance. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about bringing any value. You just do what you're told, run the policy, and go to work 9 to 5. That's it. The right. Second class that I don't like, I hate to say it, but academics. Mm-hmm. Now, there is something to the old saying that those who can't do, teach. Amen. And when you get caught up in the teaching thing and you start to think that you're pretty good at this, that you're teaching all these kids, that you got a hold of it. Hey, look at this. These people are starting to worship me. Hey, look at this. Mm-hmm. They get stuck in it.
Yeah.
And here's the problem. They don't go out and do. So they're sitting on a theoretical platform for years and years and years, trying to gain the worship and admiration of all these kids, mm-hmm. while taking whatever money they can. Remember, they can't do, they can't earn. So they have to teach. So they got to get as much money as they can. Now, what has driven the climate change agenda? The academics. Name one other institution that's committed more to climate change than the people who want to get paid because of their big papers, or the people who want to get paid because of their big insights or their big change things. Think of any institution that hasn't gotten paid bigger than the corruption of academia. Mm-hmm. All that money, all those campuses, all those kids, totally corrupt. And yet I didn't believe a word of it since the hockey stick illustration came out saying that we're all going to hell. You know, I knew something was wrong on this climate change thing. You ever heard of something called the Global Confluence Project? Global Confluence Project started like 20, 25 years ago. And the idea is at the intersection of latitude and longitude, you get your GPS there and you take a picture north, east, south, and west, and you tell the story about how you got to the confluence of the crossing of that latitude and longitude. Well, I was looking at that about 20 years ago, and I started looking at all the ones up in the north, up in the Arctic, and I was like, that's strange. These people are up there near the North Pole, and yet they're floating out on water, or they're out on a boat. And then you start looking at all the stuff toward the Southern Hemisphere and the South Pole, and you're like, well, these people are on frozen tundras with polar bears all over the place. This is weird, weird as can be. What's going on with all this? And so I started taking a look at the Global Confluence Project, and then the next thing you know, I'm on a flight from LA to Beijing, and I remember the captain coming out of the cockpit saying, if you look out the right window of the airplane, you'll see Mount McKinley. What the heck? What? You go from LA to Beijing via Alaska? This doesn't make sense. And then the third thing, have the stars ever moved? Are the constellations still exactly where they've always been? Guys, think about this. When it comes to the issue of climate change, it's nothing more than a money grab. This world is exactly what this world was designed to be. It's our home. We should take good care of it, but we don't worship it.
Amen.
I'm sorry to say that government funding for research projects has corrupted many academicians into becoming agents of the government. So it's like there's a second level, Brian, to those that you hold in contempt. And I despise the academicians who know better and won't speak out. And that includes a lot of engineers and architects who knew 9/11 was a fraud, and a whole lot in many other disciplines, you know, we're being played today again and again, including in Maui. It's outrageous.
But Jim,
and
let me I just hold say,
them in contempt. Scott.
Let me just say, to corroborate Brian's point, I've, from my undergraduate days to my master's days to my PhD days, every academic that I've encountered, except maybe one out of 20, has been a worthless, incompetent, faithless piece of garbage. Huh. Who has been nothing but a bureaucrat and their own self-worship and their study and their research and stuff. But at the moment, when you engage them 101, they're incompetent, or they're stutterers, or they're ugly. They don't know. They just are not socially alpha material. They're all betas minus. Huh. And I'm not saying that insultingly. I mean, present company excluded. You served in the military, Jim. You are a man's man. You're an officer. No one that I encountered ever in my academic journey has ever served in the military and was a professor. None.
Oh.
And they're all godless people, too. They're not a happy people. And they're arrogant and all sorts of stuff. So when Brian's saying, you know, what he's saying, it's absolutely true. I've walked the path and I've encountered hostility. I'm sorry. I've walked the path and I've encountered hostility from these people because I have pushed up and I have questioned and challenged, and they hate that. And you know, you get bad grades. Shit. I mean, I was at the top of my class, but I'd still get a B where I should have got an A because they didn't like the conservative white kid who's saying, well, what about this? What about that? But that's the reality of academics, Jim.
Bloody shame, Scott. I'm not prepared to argue against any of the points you made. Meanwhile, weaponized collusion, Jack Smith huddle with a Biden White House. Just weeks before Special Counsel Smith brought charges against Trump for allegedly mishandling classified docs, one of his top aides met with the White House counsel's office, raising serious concern about coordinated legal efforts against Biden's top political opponent for 2024. Jay Bratt, one of Smith's minions since November of 2022, took a meeting with the White House on March 31st this year with the Deputy Chief of Staff for the White House Counsel's Office, Carolyn Saba. They were joined in the 10 a.m. meeting by an FBI agent named Daniel Ray. 9 weeks later, Trump was indicted by Smith's office. The 63-year-old Brad also met with Saba at the White House in November of 2021 when Trump's legal team was in discussion with the National Archive over the return of presidential records from his Mar-a-Lago estate. Brett had a third meeting in September 2021, this time with Catherine Riley, an advisor to the White House Chief of Staff's office. The logs offer no information about what was discussed. Critics and legal experts have questioned why Brett was taking meetings at all with the White House counsel's office, why part of an active investigation into Biden's likely 2024 Republican opponent. There's no legitimate purpose for a DOJ guy to meet with the White House except if it's coordinated by the highest levels, said Rudy Giuliani. Saba left the White House in May to attend law school. As Mark Levin has observed, this is a massive story. That's why it'll be ignored by the Democrat Party media. That said, Brett not only met with Biden's staff while investigating Trump and weeks before he was charged, Brett is a senior DOJ official insisted on securing a warrant and sending the SWAT team to Mar-a-Lago. And Brett stands accused by Stanley Woodward, who represents Walt Nauta in the document case, who is an assistant to Trump, of extorting him, where Brett allegedly told Woodward the judgeship he's seeking has a better chance if his client turns on Trump. Judge Cannon should order for the bench all records related to Brett's meeting and discussion be preserved and provided to the court. She should ask the D.C. judge, who's been dragging his feet in his secret review of allegations against Brett by Woodward, Trump for that matter, and all information related to her, since it clearly bears on the document case now before her and in her jurisdiction. Yet, I'm forced to ask, where the hell are Trump's lawyers? They should file a motion immediately seeking a court information, a court order for the information mentioned above made a big stink about this outrageous news. Let me add another important part, Mark Levin adds. This clearly contributes to the overwhelming case for a special counsel, which not only creates the impression of a conflict of interest, but a conflict of interest in fact. The Biden admin cannot be relied upon to truthfully explain itself. The standard for appointing a special counsel, a qualified lawyer from outside the government, has been met again. When asked if he thinks the White House and special counsel were coordinating, Giuliani told the boss, "You're damn right I do. What's happening is they've trashed every ethical rule that exists. They've created a police state. It is a Biden state prosecutor and a Biden state police." Constitutional law scholar Jonathan Turley told the outlet, "The March meeting was particularly troublesome, raising obvious concerns about visits to the White House after Brett began his work with a special counsel. There's no reason why the Justice Department should not be able to confirm whether this meeting was related to the ongoing investigation or concerned some other matter. Well, sure, the DOJ will get it right on prosecuting itself." Scott, your thoughts?
Well, that's exactly right. There needs to be a motion, multiple motions being filed at the revelation of this corruption and this back channeling and backdoor dealing. Everything is appealable to the Supreme Court. I had a conversation with Stephen Pidgeon, a constitutional attorney who was, in fact, back with me when we were in Washington in November 2020. And he said they've opened up the Pandora's box. So every single thing that they do and everything that they deny Trump from doing. Any motion Trump files, motion for venue change, motion for dismissal, motion to expose prosecutorial misconduct, amicus briefs or newly discovered evidence demands that this case be immediately dismissed, all sorts of things, on and on and on. Everything is appealable to the Supreme Court, and everything can put a stop to this whole show on the grounds that it's a miscarriage of justice, it's a corruption, and the Supreme Court is the ultimate decider on this. And that's why it's critical to really expose this now and get all of this into the Supreme Court through appeals. The judges are corrupt. The judges are being bought. They're being threatened. They're being extorted, whatever. The judge in D.C., Obama supporter, you know, has already been hammering down on January 6th people. You know, Jim, the judges can exclude evidence despite your rights and the Constitution and the exculpatory nature of the evidence. These judges can say, no, I'm not letting that into this courtroom. I'm not letting that into the file. That's not going to be heard. So that all of that needs to be anticipated, that they're going to stop Trump from doing everything. And his own attorneys are not necessarily to be trusted. So all of this has to be appealed, right up to the Supreme Court. We've already seen they're trying to outline this to go up to Super Tuesday. This is the coup d'etat. This is what Medvedev was giving an interview on last week, too, saying the American courts are now and the Democrat Party are prosecuting their own president. They're watching this. The world is watching this as America collapses from a republic into a tyrannical police state of communists, LGBT rainbow flag wearing fanatics. And they're wondering, is America, do they have men and women that'll stand up and overthrow this like it's 1776 all over again? And I think that is the revolutionary war. It's not a civil war. It's a revolutionary war that's got to pop up all over around the country. And I say the fault lines are going to be when the state government tells the federal government, you don't have jurisdiction. You don't come into the state and tell us how to run our borders. You don't bring in ATF agents or FBI or a border patrol and take a bunch of invaders and load them on buses and planes and spread their cancer to the rest of the country. The moment this is going to break is when the state government with a state a governor is going to activate, almost like right out of Alabama's that governor who, you know, he was positing the segregation issue, of course.
George Wallace.
Thank you. George Wallace did set a precedent by saying we are raising up against federal intrusion into our state. The same thing has to happen now on a different subject matter, of course, but on a state level, the governors and the National Guard and the citizens and the citizen militia groups, the citizen posses, the citizens' defense forces, they all need to be motivated and rallied and deputized by their sheriffs in the county. All of this has to be done legally, lawful, constitutional. It all has to pass we are citizens of a free state, and we are standing up against a tyrannical federal government that's run amok, that is trying to destroy our state. And they're aiding and abetting terrorism. They're aiding and abetting a domestic invasion. This is grounds for the state to reject all of their authority and their jurisdiction. That's where the fault lines of this next revolutionary war are going to be, between the state government and the federal government. Jim?
Ryan?
Well, yeah, it's pretty easy to see that, in general, the government plays favorites. Take a look at the story about the January 6thers that were given 15 years versus all the stories about the guys from BLM that were let off, or even Antifa that were let off with a hand slap. Nobody ever got to the bottom of the Ray Epps issue. Again, let me remind you, these people that we're all talking about, they all work for the government. These judges, they all work for the government. No, they don't have their own independent criminal defense practice. No, they don't have their own independent road building construction business. No, they don't have their own independent police force. They work for the government. It's the taxpayers that put the funds in place that make the balance sheets that allow their little worlds to turn the way that they turn. So can they be bought? If I was relegated to making $78,000 a year, I might be able to be bought too. I wouldn't do it because I could go out there and do more and do better on my own. And I'd rather do more and do better on my own. But these people all work for the governments. That class of people, that one class that I just doesn't ring right for me. You know, these police officers driving these brand new vehicles, wearing their guns and their tasers and their, they got all their clips and they got all their gear on and they look like SWAT team. And they're going to pull you over and they're going to tell you to get out of your car and that you've got to do this and you've got to do that. This is not how it was meant to be. Government was meant to serve the people. We have become really? Servants of our government. Mm-hmm. And our government has, as we begin to push back, they've begun to bite back at us, the people that pay their bills. There is a reckoning coming. It is coming. And January 6th may have been an insurrection insofar as it was a false flag. But I can tell you something. MAGA this time around is growing some bigger balls than I ever dreamed that they could possibly have. And there might be a reason to actually begin to fear them, because these people are getting pissed.
And they've learned their lesson. They watched what happened on January 6th and they've said, wow, now we know there are infiltrators. There are Ukrainian mercenaries that were brought in. They're BLM, they're Antifa. We know their game. We know they're going to try and set off things. So the MAGA people and these have learned a lot from January 6th, what not to do, what not to go near. No, you don't let people in that say, we're going to kidnap Governor Whitmer. Are you in? They've learned what these FBI and all the stuff we've discovered in the last 6 to 8 months about FBI and the Department of Justice covering up the Hunter Biden laptop, all the stuff. We're the MAGA people have gone, wow, now we know just what side and how evil these people are. Yeah, there are some good whistleblowers that came out from the IRS and the Department of Justice, the FBI, but all these MAGA people, like Brian said, are growing balls and they're wise. And they're not going to be fooled or fall into any traps. It's going to be a local. It's going to be locally grown independent movements.
Most welcome development, of course. You're describing both. Meanwhile, Trump mugshot is now a means of entertainment and fundraising, but it'll go down in history as an important cultural artifact. One of the most anticipated of the summer was former Trump. President Trump mugshot. A Fulton County sheriff released the mugshot on August 24th, a little more than a week after a grand jury indicted the former president and 18 associates. Trump photo instantly generated a significant media coverage and attracted public attention. The campaign is now marketing the photo as a way to raise money. In the mugshot, he wears one of his classic dark suits with a red tie and familiar petulant scowl, with his brow furrowed and mouth turned down. Save the gold seal, there's nothing particularly noteworthy or interesting about the image. A Trump mugshot ultimate importance is yet to be realized. I've been interested in researching mugshots and other forms of ID for more than 20 years. I did my PhD on the use of photography and criminal identification in 2009. Wrote my first book, Capturing the Criminal Image, From Mugshot to Surveillance Society. It will likely be at least a decade or two before Trump's mugshot significance truly registers with the public. For now, it's a form of entertainment, a salacious piece of visual culture Trump supporters and opponents have been waiting for and now putting to use. But as an historical artifact, the Trump mugshot will be truly unique. It will represent the first time a former president had a public photographic record of criminal charges. French police were the first to produce mugshots using a Daguerreotype camera in the early 1840s. To avoid increased penalties for repeat offenses, criminals could try to change their appearance or give different names if arrested. The mugshot was a way to combat the deception. Other departments around the world recognized their useful nature. By the end of the 19th century, police departments amassed photographs of criminals into bound collection called rogues' galleries, including thousands of criminal images. Given its use over 150 years, the mugshot has an established association with criminality, or at the very least, suspicion thereof. While mugshot does not mean the person pictured has committed a crime, it does mean police had reason to bring them into custody and formally book them. The typical stern faces of the subjects, as well as inclusion of accoutrements, such as identification or prisoner numbers or height charts, add to the association of criminality. Trugg's mugshot, allowed with that of his attorney Rudy Giuliani, closely follows standard mugshot formula from the 19th century, people facing the camera head on, often with a grimace or a solemn face. By contrast, the mugshot of former Trump associate David Schaefer and Jenna Ellis look more like family photos, with wide eyes and toothy grins. Schaefer and Ellis' mugshot follow the recent practice of others, typically celebrities or politicians, who push back against the traditional idea of how a mugshot should look. In 2014, Justin Bieber, musician, was arrested for drag racing in Miami Beach and bore an innocent-looking boyish smile in his mugshot. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry was indicted for abuse of power in 2014, gave a full-face, closed-mouth smile for his mugshot, which looked fit for a political campaign advertisement. Socialist Paris Hilton struck a highly stylized pose for the camera during the three different times she took mugshots following her arrest for drug possession and driving under the influence in the mid-2000s. Mugshots primarily serve as an official police identification record, but when they're released publicly, they become part of a broader conversation about culture and society, can take on different meaning over time. Former football player O.J. Simpson, charged with the death of his former wife and boyfriend in the 1994, and of which he was later acquitted, offers one of the most famous examples of how a mugshot can have enduring legacy. Well, Time and Newsweek published Simpson mugshot on their cover in June of 1994, but Time darkened Simpson's skin tone, reflecting false racist stereotypes about dark skin color and its connection to crime, later apologizing for doing so. Now, along with being available for purchase as a poster, print, or other commercial product, the Simpson mugshot serves as a case study in college courses on criminology and media and communication. Mugshot tap into a cultural fascination with crime and criminal justice. Thus, it's no surprise mugshots find their way into popular culture, especially when the subject are famous. The mugshot of mobster Al Capone and singer Frank Sinatra from the 30s are still available on a wide range of commercial products like shirts and hats. Actress Jane Fonda famously raised her fist in a 1970 mugshot after being arrested for drug smuggling. That photo provides evidence of her career as an anti-war and feminist activist, charges that were ultimately dropped. Meanwhile, Bobby Jr. took everyone by surprise by this reaction to the Trump indictment. Trump's latest indictment is the talk of the political world. Almost every Democrat believes the indictment spells doom for Trump. But RFK Jr. took everyone surprised with his reaction. Former President Trump was hit with his fourth criminal indictment by rogue Fulton County Democrat District Attorney Fannie Willis for having the audacity to engage in rather routine challenges to the results of Georgia's 2020 election. He was forced to take a mugshot at Fulton County Jail when he turned himself in to be booked. Trump produced the most famous mugshot in history as conservatives celebrated the image as a symbol of defiance against the authoritarianism of the ruling class elites, Well, Democrats claim it was somehow the final nail in the coffin of the former president's political career. On the other hand, RFK Jr., Democrat presidential candidate and heir to the Kennedy dynasty, has proved he's unafraid to break with his party and speak the truth and choose a different route. He appeared on Fox for an interview with Jesse Waters. He explained the mugshot worked out much better for Trump than those on his side of the aisle want to admit. Have you seen the Trump mugshot? Waters asked. Yeah, I did see it, RFK Jr. replied. It was an interesting and probably very shrewd decision for him to put on that very defiant face. I think it's very popular with his base. Trump mugshot backfired on Democrats after the former president slapped his own mugshot and the tagline, "Never Surrender," on T-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merchandise, and turned the indictment into a fundraising tool for his presidential campaign. Conservatives responded in kind, giving the campaign its best single day of fundraising by flocking to buy all the merchandise from the campaign's official store. Less than a week after the items went on sale, 36,000 mugshot T-shirts were sold, bringing in over $1.7 million to the reelection effort. I wonder whether he practiced in front of the mirror, or whether he was just angry at the time, and that reflected what he did, RFK Jr. added. But I thought, from a strategic point of view, it worked very well for him. Trump was able to turn a negative into a positive and flip the script on the Fulton County Democrat DA. In Trump's other indictments, Democrat prosecutors avoided forcing him to take a mugshot, likely because they feared he would use it to his advantage. Willis, on the other hand, has been more interested in using the entire ordeal to fundraise for her own campaign, foolishly thinking she was scoring a major victory by making Trump the first former president to have his mugshot taken in American history. Fascinating stuff. Scott, yours.
Well, I think the mugshot has backfired. And I think that's the quality term. That's the defining term that people really need to assign to the entire Democrat Party and the condition America's in right now and what inevitably is going to be coming. Backfire. Everything the Democrats have done backfires on them. Everything that they hope backfired on them. The COVID-19 restrictions and lockdowns backfired on them. Maybe not among the idiots who are already lobotomized and are looking just to follow like lemmings into the pit of oblivion. Let them have their reward. But it backfired and will continue to backfire because there's more reasonable center of right moderate Americans than there are fanatical, stupid, transgender, climate worshiping lunatic types. So it's backfiring on them. January 6th backfired on them. They've caused more MAGA Republicans and moderates to rise up. The entire Biden administration has backfired. Everything they've done has proven to Americans they are ruinous, destructive fanatics, picking a fight, sending us to Ukraine, sending how much money over to Ukraine, billions of dollars, picking a fight with Russia, shutting off all of our natural energy capabilities from the Alaskan pipeline to all sorts of other things. Backfired, the destroyers of the Nord Stream pipeline, against the climate religion of Europe. And the other term is wrecking ball. That's what Trump is. And that's what every conservative, Republican, moderate who is running for political office needs to define themselves as a wrecking ball. A wrecking ball that is going to destroy all of the corruption and the institutions of corruption that have been strangling and killing this country and killing our freedom and doing all sorts of things. The same wrecking ball that needs to happen to Canada to destroy what Trudeau and his tyrannical government has done, throwing in innocent men like Arthur Pawlowski and all sorts of other people into jail for protesting their tyrannical lockdowns. So I think the backfiring concept and the wrecking ball is what Trump really is going to embody in 2024. And people really need to get behind this. And always remember, too, these simple-minded, you know, middle-of-the-road half-wits that just want to get along. Well, maybe we should pick another presidential leader, maybe Ron DeSantis, maybe someone, but we just want peace. Peace, peace when there is no peace. That's the real fraud. That's the real lie people need to get accustomed to. There is no peace ever that will come to this country. No peace will the Democrats ever allow until your children are castrated, you're eating bugs, you're living in your home and not doing anything other than what they allow you to do within 15 minutes, and your entire humanity is redefined by vaccines and DNA altering transhumanism experimentation, and you are full of the propaganda that they push out to you. There will be no peace until all of that is infected in you. And in fact, I'd say to many of us, there's no peace until you're dead. So that's your choice. Either die or surrender to their absolute dehumanizing agenda, or acknowledge to yourself, there will never be peace with these people. And the only way to, in fact, secure peace is to destroy them. Destroy them in your local communities, in your counties, in your towns, in your government, your local government, state government, county government. And I mean destroy them by pushing them out and repositioning good people, moral people, spiritual people, constitutional people into these positions. There will be no peace ever so long as you have these Democrats in power who are obsessed with advancing an agenda. And you can't live with that agenda, because that agenda is designed to kill you and to dehumanize you. And the problem that we're in now is because we've been walking away, turning our backs on that reality, trying to pretend it doesn't exist. Well, let's just give them tolerance. Let's just allow them to do this in the schools and teach homosexuality. Let's just allow them. Let's be tolerant. That tolerance has led us to the point we're at now. Because we've had peace with these vile destroyers, we are on the verge of absolute destruction. And that's why I know that the reckoning that Brian was talking about, the revolution, whatever you want to call it, the Renaissance, the awakening, has got to embrace the destruction of those who are trying to destroy you. Simple as that, Jim.
Wow. Brian.
Well, that mugshot will go down in history as the mugshot that made him one of us. Mm-hmm. You see, a lot of people think of Donald John Trump as separate, billionaire class, New Yorker, uppity. But those of us that have been at the bottom, we know what it's like to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and be arrested, or even be a little too drunk, public intoxication or whatever, even a driving under the influence. We don't feel like we're terrible criminals, but yet we've been treated like such. And our mugshot has been taken. Think of all the black guys that have been mistaken for the other black guy that actually committed the crime. And this is something that they identify with a great deal. And of course, their mugshots are taken and then they're paraded before a judge and a jury of their peers, and then they're taken to jail for 10 to 15 years, whether they did it or not, just because they don't have the money to defend themselves. And I'm not ripping on the current justice system in terms of prosecutors and defenses and the fact that there's not always enough money. But what I'm saying about this particular Donald John Trump mugshot is that it is a symbol that makes him one of us, which is totally different than the rest of the governmental workers that see all these, feel like these sort of gray sheeple that just exist and make drive their Nissan Sentra and work their 9 to 5 and do their thing. Do those people really love this country? I sure don't hear their voices. I sure don't see them showing up at the school board meeting or the city council meeting as employees. I see them keeping their mouths shut because they want to keep their job, because it's the system and the apparatus that controls them. Now, as for history, there are a lot of people that have gotten famous becoming iconoclasts. An iconoclast is a person who recognizes that the power of the icon has outgrown its usefulness and therefore they dedicate their time or energy or life to smashing that icon to a billion pieces, thus breaking the law in the process, but only to come out on the other side as sort of a hero or sort of an urban legend type of person. Now, all sorts of cultures and societies have had their heroes and their iconoclasts. And I'm going to tell you whether Donald John Trump is capable of cleaning up the swamp or not, he's going to get the credit for it because he was the one there doing it. Who is really doing it? Comer, Jordan, Grassley, Ron Johnson, Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, you name it. The guys up there, they're the ones that are really changing things right now. Donald John Trump is running for office and getting a lot of attention, and there are a lot of fireworks going off, and it's fun and games, and it's this and it's that. But I'm going to tell you, I want to remind you of something. 22 Democrat Senate seats are up for re-election on the same ticket that Trump will theoretically be on. 11 Republicans are going up. 22 Democrats are going up. You got Feinstein. You've got Hirono or whatever, Hiroshi from Alaska, that other nutcase. You got a whole bunch of them on that list. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to see this thing change, it's going to have to happen at the precinct level, because DC is a swamp that will not drain easily. And while Donald Trump might help make progress, he isn't the only engine that's running in this nation.
Well,
gentlemen, on Labor Day, you have made me and the nation proud. We still have to clean up the electoral system to make these things happen. But you are just sensational today, and I congratulate you, Don. Take us out.
Boy, poor Labor Day. Boy, you sure labored here and had a lot of production success here. I don't know of any hotter show than what we did today. And you out there, you got to share this one. Otherwise, you're part of the problem. You got to share the truth. The truth is being suppressed. We had an awful time getting this show going. I've been suppressed. And it looks like the powers that be are afraid of us. Telling what? The truth? That's not the way it should be in America. Anyway, this is truth. Yeah, there we go. This is Truth versus News on Labor Day, September 4th. I think it should be July 4th. Let's set off some fireworks and stuff. Get this thing moving here. God bless. I really appreciate everybody watching and sharing. We love you all.